Well, amen. Praise the Lord for the special music this morning and just sensing the presence of the Lord in this place. What a blessing it is when you come to church and you're looking forward to worshiping the Lord. You're anticipating God meeting with us, and then you're open to receiving what God has for us. What a blessing it has already been, and I trust that God will continue to work through the preaching of His Word at this time. If you have your Bibles, if you look with me to the book of Luke in chapter 8, Luke in chapter 8, we're going to be starting the reading in verse 26 and read down to verse 39. Luke chapter 8, beginning in verse 26, reading down to verse 39. If you'll stand with me, we'll read the Word of God together. As I read, you follow right along with me. Luke in chapter 8. The Bible says, "And they arrived at the country of the Gadarenes, which is over against Galilee. And when he went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man which had devils a long time, and wear no clothes, neither abode in any house, but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him, and with a loud voice said, 'What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God, Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not.' For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man, for oftentimes it had caught him, and he was kept bound with the chains and in fetters. And he brake the bands and was driven of the devil into the wilderness. And Jesus asked him, saying, 'What is thy name?' And he said, 'Legion,' because many devils were entered into him. And they besought him that he would not command them to go out into the deep. And there was there an herd of many swine feeding on the mountain. And they besought him that he would suffer them to enter into them. And he suffered them. Then went the devils out of the man and entered into the swine. And the herd ran violently down a steep place into the lake and were choked. And when they had... When they that fed them saw what was done, they fled and went and told it in the city and in the country. Then they went out to see what was done and came to Jesus and found the man of whom the devils were departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. They also which saw it told them by what means he that was possessed of the devils was healed. Then the whole multitude of the country of the Gadarenes around about besought him to depart from them, for they were taken with great fear, and he went up into the ship and returned back again. Now the man of whom the devils were departed besought him that he might be with him, but Jesus sent him away, saying, 'Return to thine own house, and show how great things God hath done unto thee.' And he went his way and published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done unto him." And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, again, as we bow before you, we thank you for the blessings that we've already received this morning. And now as we look at this passage of Scripture and study this account, I just pray, God, that you would use it to speak to each and every one that's here today. Only you know what they have need of spiritually, and I pray that you'd give each one that ear to hear. I ask that you would empower the preaching once again and use me as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. This passage of Scripture is somewhat of a familiar, I think, to most. And I know that I've preached a couple different messages out of this passage of Scripture. The one that I think of possibly more than any is concerning the Gadarenes. When Jesus went there commanded the devils to come out of this maniac of Gadara, the people of Gadara seen what they had to give up in order to have the presence of Jesus, and they asked Jesus to leave, which they desired the pigs over Jesus. And I preach a message on how much is the pigs worth, and what are you going to give up, you know, to lose sight of the Savior of the world, you know, and the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. And that's the Gadarenes, if you look at them and the decision they made. But we also, in this passage of Scripture, we have a great example of the maniac of Gadara and what happened in his life. And that's what I'm going to look at this morning as we study this passage of Scripture here. We're going to be looking more at the maniac of Gadara himself, this man who was possessed with devils, who was healed by the Lord, and then started to live a life of thanksgiving. And that's the message I'm going to preach to you this morning, living a life of thanksgiving. First of all, as we look here in verse 27, we find this man living as a maniac. And the Gospels, three of the Gospels reveal this story, and they say several different things about him, but all of them reveal that he was possessed with legions or many devils. He was a demon-possessed individual. He was bound by sin. He had Satan working in him, and he was about doing evil. That's the life that he was living. He was living a very evil life. He didn't wear any clothes. He lived in a graveyard and apparently had no one who cared for his soul. That's the kind of life that he had. And he would have continued to live that way until death if Christ had not come around. But Christ did come around. And the Bible says that Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. Amen. Jesus found this man and set this man free. In doing this, we find that he addresses the demons and how that the demons ask that they be set into these pigs. And as he casts the demons out and they go into these pigs, the pigs run into the ocean and then are drowned. But this man was set free. And then after he was set free, we find verse 35, the Bible says, then they went out to see what was done. They came back to see what was taking place and came to Jesus and found the man, this maniac of Gadara, this man that had no one that cared for his soul, this man that was bound to a life of sin. They found this man out of whom the devils were departed. Look what it says about him. Sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. He was living a life of thanksgiving. See, living a life of thanksgiving is more than just saying thank you. Now, I think as civilized individuals and as we raise our children, we want our children to be raised with this principle, with this attitude of thanksgiving. We raise them, and if you really care about your children, you want them to develop these kind of characteristics and to be raised to not be so selfish and to be raised to be able to contribute to society, to be raised, if you will, even in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, then you raise your children to learn to be thankful, to learn to say thank you. Now, that's one of the things that children don't naturally want to do. And so you train them and you teach them. And the earlier you start them out by learning to say thank you when they receive something, the easier it will be. The later you wait on that, the harder it's going to be. They're a little more stubborn as they get older. And so we start training them early and we teach them to say please and thank you. I think every parent here can identify with that and knowing that that's what you've tried to do. As we do that, you can force someone to say thank you. Even that strong-willed, stubborn, hard-headed child. Anybody identify? Were you one of those? Yeah. You know, you didn't want to do it, but you knew that if I didn't do it, then I was going to get spanked or I was going to have to suffer some kind of consequence to it. And so, you know, you would say thank you, not because you were thankful, but because you were forced. And that's a beginning anyway. Amen. I think that most of the time the children don't even realize what being thankful is about. They just learn that they need to say thank you. And as they continue to say thank you, then as they get older, they'll start learning why it is that I was told and taught to say thank you. Because it's an expression of the heart of being thankful. Amen. That's what we raise them to do. Well, you can force someone to say thank you, but you cannot force anyone to be thankful. Just because someone says thank you does not mean that they are truly, genuinely thankful. Many, I believe, even those who have received Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, are blinded to this. You've learned to say the right things, and you learn to use the right phrases, even in church, even sometimes when you're praying. But you lost sight of living a life of thanksgiving that is connected to truly and genuinely being thankful. And I believe this example, the maniac of Gadara, is an example of someone who understood what God had done for them and who was truly looking at their life and was thankful. And because they were thankful, then they started living their life as someone that is genuinely thankful. Now, if you will, hold your place there. We're going to come back to this story, but I want to take you to the book of Colossians in chapter 3, which gives us more of an understanding of the will of God. Because it is God's will in living the Christian life that not only that we learn to say the right things, not only do we learn to say thank you, but we understand that it's more than just words. It is being thankful. It's God's will for every child of God. It's God's will for every Christian to live a life of thanksgiving. And again, living a life of thanksgiving begins with being thankful. In Colossians in chapter 3, verse 14 and 15, he says, "And above all these things, put on charity." Now, it lists a lot of things that we ought to be giving into and putting on, but charity, sacrificial love, a love that's willing to sacrifice. "Above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness." As you're maturing, this is something that we have to have in our lives, charity. This type of agape type of love, the sacrificial type of love. And then in verse 15 it says, "And let the peace of God." I believe that the peace of God is connected to this kind of love, this kind of willing to sacrifice, this kind of willing and a desire to give. "And the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body." And then he sums it all up and he says this, "And be ye thankful." It's not a suggestion that God gives to us. It's not something that we can take or leave. It's something that God says, "It is my will for your life," especially those of you that have received Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. How can you not look at what God has done for us, and how can you not inside of your own heart and mind be thankful? Be ye thankful. And being thankful requires giving. It's connected to it. In Colossians chapter 3, the next two verses says this, verse 16 and 17. So it says, now that you have understood it's the will of God and that you have been given to this agape love, this kind of charity, and you understand it's God's will for your life, to be ye thankful, he says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye," and I want you to look at this and underline this, "do." All right, it's my life. Now that I'm saved, understanding the greatest thing that an individual can put on is charity. And with this charity comes this idea of being thankful. And if this being thankful is truly in you, and if you are truly living a life of thanksgiving, then what you do will reflect that. And whatsoever you do, in word or deed, do all. Everything that we do. In the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. So you see the connection here, okay? This idea of this, what we're to put on and all these different things. And the most important is this idea of charity, which is connected to the peace of God, which is connected to this idea of being thankful. And then as we are thankful, then starting to live a life of thanksgiving is connected to what we do in life. And so whatsoever we do in life, it is part of our giving. Giving thanks to God. He gives us some illustrations here. Now, possibly some of the priorities of our lives and how we are living a life of thanksgiving. And he starts out here with a married couple, with this illustrations of living a life of thanksgiving and being thankful requires giving here. And so he says, first of all, in the illustration, verse 18, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Then he says, husbands, love your wives as and be not bitter against them. So if we are truly thankful to God for who He is, and we're truly thankful for what God has bestowed upon us and what we have, right here, the first thing He says, that if you're thankful for your husbands, then you'll understand what God would have you to do in living with your husband and wives. Realizing that God has given you a husband, and He has given you husbands a wife, and God has a will for your lives as husband and wife. God has things that He wants you to do. And as you have this charity in your heart, a desire to give, and you have a love that's connected to that, and then you look, understand it's all connected to what God has done for us, then as you live together as husband and wife, in order to live a life of thanksgiving, it is reflected upon how you live with your husband and how you live with your wife and understanding the will of God in this. And so as wives, it is understanding that God has placed this man in your life. And as he follows the Lord, you are to submit or follow him and allow him to have a position in your life of headship, of leadership. One of the first things, if you're going to live a life of thanksgiving and giving thanks unto God, then you understand that God designed marriage, not man. And so man has no right to change it. God designed it.
That's right.
And so as God has designed marriage and now he has a position, God, it's not that God thinks that man is better than the woman or the woman is better than man. It's God is no respecter of persons, but he created us different.
That's right. Amen.
Doesn't take a whole lot of even common sense to realize that. He created us different for a purpose, for a life to live. The one thing that a woman can do that a man cannot do is to glorify God as a woman. And the one thing a man can do that a woman cannot do is to glorify God as a man. And God created you to be a man or a woman. And if you're a man, then God says, I have a plan for your life. Live it. A life of thanksgiving as a man. If you're a woman, then God says, I have a plan for your life. Live your life as a life of thanksgiving as a woman. And when you get married, understand that I designed marriage. I have a plan for marriage. And if you're going to live a life of thanksgiving, if you're married, this is how you live it. So wives, submit yourselves to your own husband as it is fit in the Lord, as he follows the Lord. And husbands, love your wives. Be not bitter against them. Love your wives even as Christ so loved the church and gave himself for it. So the illustration begins here with the marriage. Verse 20 says, children. You want to know if the children are really getting it? Yeah, you taught them to say the right things. You taught them to say please and thank you. But are they really thankful? Parent, it's our responsibility to raise them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. It's our responsibility to raise them to live a life of thanksgiving. If a child is, when a child truly gets hold of this and they are genuinely thankful, then they will associate being thankful for their parents with what? Obedience. Yes, they'll actually have a desire to please mom and dad. As I look back in my teenage years, the thing that kept me walking as close to the straight and narrow as I did was not really the fear of God. It was the fear of disappointing my parents. I would not be able to take my mom disappointed me and crying over me. And she did that a few times. And that got to me more than anything else because I was so thankful for my parents. And how being thankful, living a life of thanksgiving as a young person or as a child would have a desire to please or to obey their parents. Not that you do all the time. I'm not saying that you do. But that idea of living a life of thanksgiving has to be associated with and connected to obedience as a child. So parents, one way to find out, am I really training my child? Are they really getting this or not? Can you see a desire to be obedient? And then it goes on to parents. It says, parents, fathers, provoke not your children to anger. Parents will desire to raise your children. If you're living a life of thanksgiving and you're a parent, being thankful for your children is understanding the importance that's in raising them. And you realize it's more important than my success at work. It's more important than my own personal desires and my own personal goals. Because Lord, children are a heritage of the Lord. And God, you've given me these children to raise. And my desire is to live a life of thanksgiving. And if I'm truly thankful for what you've given to me in these children, then I will have a desire to raise them in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord because I will realize that is the most important thing that I can do for them. Not to buy them things, but to raise them to know God and to always be an example of Christ-likeness before them.
Amen.
That'll keep you. Can I be honest with you as well? After having children, one of the things that kept me faithful was the knowledge of knowing that my children looked up to me. And I would not want to set a bad example before them. That's not the only thing, but that's one of the things that I thought about. Can I tell you, that's one of the things that you'll think about.
That's right.
If you're living a life of thanksgiving as a parent. And not only that, it didn't stop there. It says servants. Employees. If you're living a life of thanksgiving, it will be revealed in how you desire to work as an employee for your employer. Thankful for your job. If you're thankful for your job, then you're going to do the best job that you can do. You're going to want to make your employer a success. He has employed you, and God is using and working through him to give you finances to be able to supply your need and be able for you to supply for your families. And praise the Lord for it, be able to tithe to your church. Praise God for that. And if you're living a life of thanksgiving, you're going to be one of the best employees that you can possibly be, because it is living a life of thanksgiving. Now go back with me to our text. The maniac of Gadara. He looked at his life before Christ. What a contrast. Many of us here could look at our lives and just imagine where we would be without Christ. If I hadn't have surrendered my life to Jesus Christ, would I even be here today? Or would I already be in the devil's hell? Don't ever forget that. Don't ever forget what God's done for you. Don't ever stop being thankful for salvation, for His indwelling, for how God, as we study in our Sunday morning Sunday school this morning, how God got you through those trials. You look back in some of those valleys and trials. And what got you through that was your faith in God, and you're looking to Him and praying, God, help me. Grace to help in time of need. And you see how God brought you through all of those things. Don't ever forget that. It's when you blind yourself to that is when you'll stop living a life of thanksgiving to God. The maniac of Gadara looked at his life. He realized what God had done for him. And we find there's some time that had transpired, but we find him now sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. It's God's will to live a life of thanksgiving. And this example would be a man that was committed to living it. So what's first? What's first? What we find here. Verse 35, we find him doing what he would already know what was right to do. I don't think anybody had to tell him, now that you're saved, you have to put some clothes on. Come on, amen. I mean, practically, this is practical application here. The man got saved. He didn't wear clothes. Why would the Bible say that he didn't wear clothes? Because that's how he lived when he was living a life of sin and living a life of evil. Now that he realizes what Jesus has done for him, Jesus didn't have to tell him to put some clothes on. Because he realized already he knew what he needed to do. And so he realized the demons are gone. I've been saved. I got to learn more about my Savior. But the first thing I'm going to do is something that nature, God's already instilled within me is right to do. Put some clothes on. You might have just got saved. Anyone who even's a babe in Christ, there are certain things that you already know without anybody having to teach you would be wrong. And so the first thing you want to do once you get saved, or once you have a desire to live a life of thanksgiving, is what I do, I'm going to make sure that I start doing what I know I should be doing before anyone has to even tell me that I should be doing it. Because I already know that. Putting on clothes is what the Bible says about the maniac of Gadara. That's one of the first things he did. Praise the Lord for that. One of the things that most people know, I need to get in church. I need to stop going out and living a life of riotous living. I need to get away from drugs. I see where drugs took me. I see what happened to get me in the sad shape as I was in. These bad decisions and these things that I was doing, I see exactly where they led me to this type of a lifestyle. Now that I've received Christ as my Savior and I understand that He has a better plan for my life, I'm going to give up on those things. I'm going to turn away from those things and I'm going to look to do what I know that God wants me to do. Even before anyone else tells me, I know certain things ought to be done.
Amen.
It's because of I'm thankful for my salvation that I want to live a life of thanksgiving. So he comes clothed, sitting at the feet of Jesus with a desire to know more about his Savior.
Amen.
The Bible says in James 4:17, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. So the first thing to do is stop sinning. Well, I don't even know what sin is. It's doing things you know you shouldn't be doing. And so the first thing, put some clothes on. You already know that. You already know what you ought to be doing. So now that you know that it's right to do, you know this is the right thing to do to move toward God, start doing those things. Stop sinning. Practical. Just practical stuff right here. If you truly want, if you truly are thankful and you want to start living a life of thanksgiving, stop doing what you know is wrong and start doing what you know right now to be the right thing to do. Because only you can do that. You can force somebody to say thank you. You can't force somebody to be thankful. But if you are thankful, you start doing these things. Wow. The second thing. And we're closing here. But look at Luke 8, 38, verse 39. Now the man out of whom the devils were departed besought him that he might be with him. He's sitting at his feet. No doubt Jesus was discipling him. Now Jesus, it was time for him to leave, time for him to go on. And it would have been natural for him to say, I want to go with you. I want to continue to just be fed. I want to take in everything. I want to receive. I just want to continue to receive. But Jesus sent him away, saying, return to thine own house and show how great things God hath done unto thee. The second thing that we find out about this man of Gadara and living a life of thanksgiving, not only did he start doing what he already knew was right to do, but we need to be willing to do whatever God reveals as his will for you, for your life. You see, we don't need to live our lives complaining over what we think should have been. I want to go with you because I just want to keep taking in. I want to receive. I want to receive. And you're the one that cared for my soul. And you're the one that saved my soul. And there's no one here that really cared for me. Matter of fact, they would rather have the pigs than have the witness of Christ in this area. And Jesus said, no, this is my will for your life. Whether you realize it or not, you have much to offer right where you're at. I've prepared you. You have what your family needs. You have what your neighbors need. You are going to be the light that I'm leaving in this very sad, very dark place. See, we need to realize our need to give is greater than our need to receive. Did you get a hold of that? Our need to give is greater than our need to receive. At some point, once you have received, God says, I want you to start giving it out. When you stop taking in, you'll stop giving out. But if you continue to take in, you'll have a desire. There'll be something inside of you that will not rest until you're giving it out. And if you don't have a desire to give out, it's because you have stopped taking in. Once God's prepared you, be willing to do His will. Don't live your life complaining about what you think should have been. And so He said, no, my will for you is to stay. He didn't stop. He didn't complain about, well, if you're not going to let me go with you, I'm not going to serve you. That wasn't it. Well, that's not a life of thanksgiving. He accepted God's will for his life. And the Bible says, and he went his way and published throughout the whole city, not just his family, but throughout the whole city, how great things Jesus had done unto him. And he was a living example of what God can do. It's a great day. Now I'm closing here. It's a great day when, as born-again believers, we realize that God's blessings of peace and joy are connected to a life of thanksgiving. Not just saying thank you. Not just learning the lingo, but living a life that is pleasing to God. Are you there? Are you there? If I could have every head bowed and every eye closed. Living a life. Are you there? Have this love of God and the love for God inside of you that is working to lead you to accomplish the things that God wants you to accomplish. Living that life. If you're not there, you can get there. It starts by yielding today. If you're here and you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, it begins with you getting saved. If you are saved, it begins right here by you coming, possibly confessing and forsaking, turning back to the Lord, rededicating, but committing your life to the will of God. What about it? Father, we love you. Thank you for the truth of your word. Thank you for this story, this example, this maniac of Gadara and how he turned from a life of sin to a life of thanksgiving. Help us to do the same. Bless now this invitation. In Jesus' name we pray.